Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters out there, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. As I welcome you again to this episode tonight, I am so excited still because tonight we will be continuing our study and hopefully we'll complete the book of Genesis and go on to the book of Romans. Now, this study will provide a patriarchal look at the women and men in its telling of God's exploits from the beginning of religious time as we know it. Today, religion has identified at least three major periods of time, or eras: the patriarchal, the Mosaic, and the Christian eras. Now, I want to remind you again that all lessons and instructions are taken from the old King James Version of the Bible, and I highly suggest, so boredom doesn't come into play, meaning that you are not just listening and not taking part, that you have your Bible sources open, your devices or laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will break for questions and answers, comments or inquiries, if you have any. Now, before we get started, I want to once again personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. Now, the comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using. Thank you. In fact, there was a comment made from one of our listeners about last week's program involving instruction number 48 that I was too vague and was unclear in the explanation. So let's quickly revisit that. Instruction number 48 had to do with Joseph's encounter with Pharaoh's chief butler and baker. And that was taken from Genesis chapter 40, verse 1 through 5, verse 13 through 19. And the complement was the New Testament, Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 18. Now, what the two connections were: the brothers came to Joseph to intercede for them with God, meaning that Joseph was righteous and he had favor with the Lord, so anything Joseph did was successful. And everybody in connection with Joseph at the time knew this. Now, the complement tells us that there were leopards that came to Jesus for intercession with God, for the leopards knew that Jesus was special and righteous and that he could intercede for them, and that's exactly what he did. Now, this is the complement. That's what the connection is between the Old and New Testament. Now, this is what the instruction spiritually means to us, is that there are those who are among us that can give us good advice, but we should weigh the difference, meaning that we should try the spirit. So that is more of an understanding. Now, if the listener out there that made the comment would like to get back to me and give me more feedback on that, I would definitely receive it. Now, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said, or I should say Jesus said, hereby is my Father glorified, if you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. John chapter 15, verse 8. So the promise is the glorification of God and the bearing of much fruit and becoming a disciple of Jesus. If you do this, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that men, when they see your good works, and then glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 15. Again, your good works, if you are the light of the world, will glorify God. Jesus said through Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. In weakness, my strength is made perfect. That is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. So the promise, if you want Jesus' grace in your weakness, whatever what's confronting you, you are supposed to give it to the Lord, and he will strengthen you with his grace. Now, to the study. We're going to go to instruction number 52, and we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 44, and it's going to be verse 1 through 4. That is where we're going to extract the instruction from, that text. Genesis chapter 44, verse 1 through 4, and this is what the instruction is. Joseph chastises his brothers. That's what we want to focus on when we read the text. And here's what the text says. Genesis chapter 44, verse 1 through 4. As he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sack with food, so as much as they can carry, and every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. His servant did that. As soon as morning was lit, the men were sent away and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his servant, up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Telling us that what Joseph did was to discipline his brothers because of what they had done to him previously. Now what we want to do is we want to go to our complement and see how the New Testament agrees and compares with this chastising. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 23, verse 13 through 16. Matthew chapter 23, verse 13 through 16, and this is what the New Testament says. Jesus is talking, and what he says is, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer them that are in entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Again, woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. So we can see that Jesus is chastising Pharisees and the Sadducees in the nation of Israel. Now, this is what it means to us spiritually in our lives. It means that when we are going through trials and tribulations and any troubles, we understand that God is doing it, or he is allowing it to be done to us. Now, that is the chastening of God to us all as sinners. If you have any comments, if you're in the chat room, get them to the host. If not, give me a text or an email so I can get that information from you. Now we're going to go to the next instruction, and we're going to go to instruction number 40-50 after the break.
Everybody wants the prize, but nobody loves the process. Everybody wants to be a champion, but nobody's willing to put in the work that it takes to be a champion. Everybody wants to hold up the trophy and say, man, I did it, but nobody's willing to put in the work that it takes to do it. I love the process. I love the thought of working for what I want. And I firmly believe you're never supposed to wish for it more than you're willing to work for it. Your expectations never supposed to exceed your efforts. But a lot of people, they wish, and they're not willing to work. And the great thing about life has a funny way of testing all of us and seeing how bad we really want what it is that we say we want.
What if you get weak along the way and you're throwing a towel on yourself, you surrender to your emotions? What then? A lot of people become discouraged, they become frustrated, and they say, oh, what the heck? And they go back to doing what they were doing before, saying it doesn't work.
Take quitting out your vocabulary. Take it out. Cry if you must. Rest if you must. But the worst thing you can do is quit. When you want something bad, you can't count the cost. Because if you count the cost and you see how much it costs, you might give up. So you got to go in knowing that I don't count the cost. I do as many reps as it takes. I study as long as it takes. I pay whatever the price is. You get to a point when you don't count it. You just do whatever it takes to get whatever you want.
Put yourself in a position where you can't retreat, where it's do or die, sink or swim. Here's what you'll find out. You'll develop incredible swimming skills. You'll find yourself stroking unlike you've ever seen before. Through the inspiration of desperation, you'll become more creative than ever before. Throw your whole self into it. So as we look at the future, we can decide that from this day forward, as I look at all the dimensions of my life, looking at myself mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, I'm going to do all I can do to develop me.
When you leave, what you fighting for? What's your legacy? What you gonna do? You say you a champ, but do you practice like a champ? You say you a champ, do you fight like a champ? You say you a champ, do you have the mentality of a champ?
The universe responds to the man or woman that refuses to be denied. You've got to be willing to stand there and face disappointment, not have support, doubt yourself sometimes, be rejected again and again and again, and refuse to turn around until life gives it up.
Nothing can resist a person that has that kind of commitment.
Back to our program. Welcome back to Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Now we're going to go to instruction number 53, and we're going to be looking at the Bible text, Genesis chapter 45, verse 4 through 8. That is Genesis chapter 45, verse 4 through 8. And this is the instruction that we're going to glean from the text. The instruction is Joseph's revelation to his stepbrothers. That's what we want to concentrate on as we read the text. Inside of Genesis chapter 45, verse 4 through 8, we should see this revelation. And this is what it says. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me thither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not that you sent me hither, but God, and he had made me a father of Pharaoh, and lord of his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. So we can see that the revelation is that God is the one that sent Joseph into this situation that he's in, that his brothers have come to get relief from. That's the revelation. Now let's go to the compliment. Let's go to the New Testament, John chapter 14, 5 through 11. John chapter 14, we're going to be reading verse 5 through 11, and we're going to see how this compares and agrees. Now, this is what Jesus said in John chapter 14, 5 through 11. He said, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know me, and have seen me. Then Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? That thou hast seen me, hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. So there Jesus reveals to his apostles that he is the one, just as Joseph revealed to his brothers that he was the one. Now, this is what this instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean, if we want to understand the Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth, we must study it. Okay? That is the meaning. Now let's go to instruction number 54, and we're going to return to the Genesis text, 46, verse 1 through 4. We're going to look at Genesis 46, verse 1 through 4, and this is the instruction that we should be garnering from the text. Israel goes into Egypt. That is what we want to focus on as we read the text. And this is what the text says, Genesis 46, 1 through 4. And Israel, who was Jacob, took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba, and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel, meaning Jacob, in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here I am. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thy eyes. And so what that is telling us is that because of the famine, and because Joseph, his son, was the father, as we found out from the previous reading, that of Pharaoh, that he was going to be okay. Now let's see what the compliment says about this. We're going to go to Luke in the New Testament, Luke chapter 19. Verse 28 through 38. Luke chapter 19, verse 28 through 38. And this is what it says in compliment, comparing to what happened to Jacob or Israel when he went into Egypt. It says, And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem, meaning Jesus. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon ye never a man set. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you why you loose him, thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent away on their way, and found even as Jesus had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said, Hey, why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they bound and they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus upon him. And as he went, they spread their coats in the way. And when he was coming now, even to the descent of the Mount of Olives, and the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And so it concludes by saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So we can see that Jesus entered Jerusalem triumphant, as Israel also entered into Egypt triumphant. Now, this is what the instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that we are just sojourners here until we get into heaven and be glorified with God. So we understand that our triumph is going to be entering into the kingdom of heaven. All right, so that's what the instruction means. Now we're going to go to the next instruction. It's going to be instruction 55. And we're going to go back to the book of Genesis, and we're going to be reading from Genesis chapter 47, verse 5 and 6. You can get that, and then after the break, we're going to go through the details. But we're going to go into Genesis chapter 47, verse 5 and 6, when we return after the break. And it's going to identify the instruction which tells or says Israel settles in Goshen. That's going to be very significant, my brothers and sisters. The instruction, meaning Jacob as Israel, settles in Goshen. So that's going to be taken from Genesis chapter 47, verse 5 and 6. And I'm thinking that the break is getting ready to begin. And so what we'll do is we'll wait until that occurs. Now, if you want to go ahead and mark your Bibles to the complement that will compare and agree with Genesis chapter 47, verse 5 and 6, will be Luke chapter 12, verse 22 through 34. And I can see that the break has not occurred, so let's continue. It is occurring right now.
I've come to the realization that, on my own, it's impossible to win. On my own, there are some strongholds I can't break. There are some problems that I can't overcome on my own. This is not the time to be 1 foot in and 1 foot out. Look around you. Look at the signs of the times. We need to be all in for God. This is not the time to entertain a little bit of hidden sin in your life. Be all in for God. This is no time to be weak. No time to be wary. No time to be half-hearted with your prayer life. Because the enemy is out there, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. Now, our strength as children of God is found in prayer. But we can't play with prayer. We can't neglect our prayer life. This isn't the time to be consumed by thoughts of fear, anxiety, or worry. This isn't the time to be an unbelieving believer, a halfway Christian. You know, someone who kind of, sort of thinks they believe sometimes. Be all in for God. This isn't the time to believe that Jesus walked on water, raised the dead, healed the sick, but doubt that he can perform miracles in your own life too. This isn't the time to feel like you want to serve God. It's a time, a season for us not to just chase after God, but burn for him. This is a time to burn with a pure and holy passion. This is a time to wait upon the Lord and renew our strength. This is a time to mount up with wings as eagles, to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. This is a time to be all in for God. Every one of us has had to face a roadblock at one point or another in our lives, something that tried to stop us from growing, something that tried to hinder us from walking with God, something that tried to block our journey with God. And these roadblocks come in many forms. They come in the form of past rejections, past failures, past hurts, even past sins. But the Word of God in Psalms says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Think about that the next time you come up against a roadblock. Lift your eyes to the hill and look for your help to overcome adversity in God. The strength for us to conquer anything is drawn from Christ. We have to stand on God's word and claim, declare, pronounce, and speak victory before we even see it. And when you do this, we aren't speaking empty affirmations. You're speaking God's word into your life. There's a difference.
Welcome back to our program. I'm Christopher, and here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, we're on instruction number 55, and the instruction is Israel, or Jacob, settles in Goshen. So let's read about that in Genesis chapter 47, verse 5 and 6, and this is what it says. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee, in the best of the land. Make thy father and brethren to dwell in the land of Goshen. Let them dwell. And if thou knowest any man of activity among them, make them the rulers over my cattle. So we can see that Jacob or Israel settles in the best of what was in Egypt at the time. That was Goshen. Now let us go to our complement and see how the New Testament compares and agrees with what we just identified was Joseph's or Israel's experience. We're going to go to Luke chapter 12, verse 22 through 34. Luke chapter 12, verse 22 through 34. And this is what it says. And Jesus is talking. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then not be able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not that which you shall eat, nor what ye shall drink, neither be doubtful of mine. For all of these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That is so significant because Israel settled in the best of Egypt. And this is for us to know that we're going to settle in the best of God. So what does this mean spiritually? This means, this instruction means in our lives that we should settle within ourselves. Jesus said, heaven and the kingdom of God and the kingdom of paradise is inside of us. In the book of Luke is where he tells us that. Now, whether we be male or female, black or white, Asian or Indian, because the tabernacle of God is within us. So that doesn't, so it doesn't mean who you are. It's irrelevant. We know that that is where we should be settled. So that's the instruction we should be, or the interpretation we should be getting from this instruction. Okay, now we're going to go. If you have any questions or comments, get them to me as soon as you do. Now let's go to the next instruction, 56. And we're going to go back to the book of Genesis, our text, and read chapter 48, verse 1 through 6. Chapter 48, verse 1 through 6. That is the chapter and verse we're going to read from. And this is the instruction we're going to be looking at that we're going to glean from this chapter. It is Israel adds to the nations. Now, this is important, my brothers and sisters, because as we're coming to the end of this study, we're going to see that the promise of God is going, or how it's already been put in place, and Israel is going to add to it. Now, this is what Genesis chapter 48, verse 1 and 6 says. It says, and it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Remember those two names. And one told Jacob, said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and he blessed me and said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make thee of a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, listen everybody, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, they were not of the original seed from Jacob. They were his grandsons. But listen to this. Before I came unto thee into Egypt are mine, as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And their issue and thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after thy name of thy brethren in the inheritance. So we can see that there were 12 tribes of Israel. Now there are 14. All right, now let's go to the book of John, and we're going to go to chapter 10 in the book of John, and we're going to compare and agree and see what the New Testament has to say about similar. John chapter 10, verse 14 through 16. That's what we want to look at, and we're going to get to that. After the break, it looks like that we are getting ready to start a break. So we want to turn our Bibles and Bible sources to John chapter 10.
When everything else is crumbling around us, in the darkest hour of your life, God will never fail you. God uses storms to teach us that we need Him every day and every hour of our lives. God teaches us through those storms that He is all-powerful, that He is mighty, and that He alone is in control of planet Earth. Just about the time humanity begins to feel invincible, God cranks up the engines of Mother Earth and shakes us until we feel as helpless as a child. He demonstrates his absolute control of the world and the control of our lives by the storms he sends and the storms he conquers. God uses storms to shake us out of our comfort zone into a position of complete dependence on him for our survival. In 60 years of ministry, I have listened to stories of heartache, betrayal, honest confession of intentional sin, reckless and foolish choices. I have listened to sobbing voices express the fear of tomorrow, the bitterness that's in their heart, the rejection that they have felt, the unforgiveness, the rage, the abandonment, the lack of self-confidence, the insecurity that can cripple the mind from the failure that they have been through. All of these are storms. Some of you here and many of you watching by television are going through a storm right now. Some of you, it is a make or break kind of storm. The God we serve is the master of wind and waves. He is the chain breaker and he is the way maker. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. It is his voice that penetrates the darkness. He is still the light of the world. He is the Lord of glory. He is still the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is still our companion in the valley of the shadow of death. He is our hope. He is our fortress. He is our high tower. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He is the sea walker and the blind man healer. He is the champion of death, hell, and the grave. His name is Jesus, the Son of the living God, heaven's hope and hell's dread. Give him praise in the house. Today, we talk about the storm of failure. Read with me from verse 23. And when he had entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds of the sea obey him? Father God, we have come to the house of the Lord today to discover what manner of man is this that controls the universe, and yet we are so reluctant to call upon him in the day of adversity. Our lives have been scarred by storms. We come today now to ask you to say, Peace be still, to every life here and those watching who are in a desolate time of great failure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now back to our program. Here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay. Open up your Bibles to John chapter 10, verse 14 through 16, and we're going to see how this compares to what the instruction Israel adds to the nation says. John chapter 10, verse 14 through 16, and this is what Jesus said. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father and will lay down my life for the sheep. And listen, everyone, this is key. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Okay, there is the connection. We see that Israel added to the nation. And now we see that Jesus is adding to salvation. Now, this is what the instruction means spiritually to us. As Christians, we must be careful who we reject as worthy of God, because we might not know whom God has chosen besides the Christians. Now, we know that there are Jews that also must come, but we don't know if there is anyone else that is included in that fold that Jesus just spoke of. So that's the instruction. And now we're going to go to our final instruction for this series. It's instruction number 57. And we're going to go to Genesis chapter 49. And we're going to be reading verse 1 through 29. Now, the reason that this is going to be so lengthy, this is significant, and I want everyone to follow along. So if you got your sources, open them up so you can follow along with me, because this is the instruction, and this is critical to all of what we're learning in this particular series. Israel, meaning Jacob, prophesies to his sons. This is significant. Now, remember, there's 14 that's going to be involved in this, not just 12. And here is what Genesis chapter 49, verse 1 through 29 says. It says, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." Now we want to go to verse, we're going to continue in verse 2. "Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben," this is the first son, "thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power, but unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, and defiled thou it. He went up to my couch." So remember what Reuben did. Reuben had sex with Jacob's wife, concubine, Bella. Verse 5, "Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, my honor. Be not thou united, for in thy anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. And I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel." So what has happened to Simeon and Levi, we already know that Levi was the Levitical priesthood, and it has gone by the wayside so far. It has been disjointed because of the sins of Levi. And I presume that Simeon also, if we could find material on Simeon, it would be the same. Now, verse 8 says, "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall roust him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and until him shall be gathered of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine, his ass colt unto the choice vine." Remember, we just read about that in the New Testament. Well, Jesus entered into Jerusalem sitting on a colt. "He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk." We know that he's talking about the end result, Jesus the Christ of Nazareth. Verse 13 says, "Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon." Now, I don't know that much about these other sons yet, and in future reference, I'll get back with you on that, but right now, I'm just going to read it because it's part of the prophecy. Verse 14 says, "Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good and the land that is was pleasant. And he bowed his shoulders to bear and became a servant unto tribute. And then Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an otter in the path that biteth the horse's heel, so that his rider shall fall backwards. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind less loose. He giveth goodly works. Joseph is a fruitful bow, even a fruitful bow by a well, whose branches run the wall. Now, I've given you most of these, and we're going to go into a break, but I thought it was significant that you should hear what the prophecy was for all of the sons thus far of Israel. And, of course, we do have two more left of the 12. Remember, he received Manasseh and Ephraim, and we're going to read after the break what Manasseh and Ephraim also received through the prophecy. And if you want to turn your Bibles now to that, it's going to be Genesis chapter 48, verse 14 through 16. That's going to give us the information on Manasseh and Ephraim. Genesis chapter 48, verse 14 through 16. And we will, after the break, get to those. So what I'm going to also tell you until the break starts, you can also mark your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 21, verse 8 through 28 and verse 36. We're going to use that as the complement to the study that is going to prophesy something for us. We'll get that from Luke chapter 21, verse 8 through 28 and verse 36. So that is what we'll do after the break. But I see that maybe there won't be a break. So what I'm going to do is start with chapter 48, just as I had mentioned, and we're going to go to verse 14 through 16, because I have not heard the host interrupt it. So this is what Genesis chapter 48, verse 14 through 16, tells us about Manasseh and Ephraim, which were added to the nation of Israel by Jacob, their grandfather. It says, "And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me of my long life unto this day, and the angels which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude into the midst of the earth." So that was the prophecy that he gave to those two sons. Now the break.
What is hope? It means to have a sense of expectation that God's answer is coming based on what the promises of God happen to be in the Word of God. Now listen to this. Hoping is not wishing. I'm going to say that again. Hoping is not wishing. Wishing is based on nothing but emotion and feeling. Wishing has no chance of becoming reality because it's not based on substance. But the law of God is substance. Our hope is based in what the Word of God has said about the thing for which you are praying. God's law for controlling your future and achieving your dreams is accomplished in these four words: hope thou in God. The solutions of our national crisis is not coming from Washington. I hear people now in this election time saying, "Oh, I hope Washington gets it right this time." Well, don't get your hopes up. The answer is not coming from Washington. The solution for America is coming from God Almighty. Hope is God's gift to the believer. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13:13, now abideth faith, hope, and love. Three things that God wants every believer to have. St. Paul writes in Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace so that you may overflow with hope. God doesn't want you to have just a little dab of hope. God wants you to have hope that's like a river that literally washes the pain and the sorrow out of your life and brings you joy unspeakable that's full of glory. The first recorded promise in the Bible is that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. It is a word of hope from God the Father that Satan is a defeated foe. And Jesus Christ fulfilled that promise at the cross of Calvary. Satan has no power over you. He has no influence over you. He has no claim over you. He has no authority over you. Not over your family, not over your future, not over your health, not over your finances. Because he has been defeated and he is still defeated. The last promise recorded by Jesus, Revelation 22:20, I am coming soon. It's a word of hope for the 21st century church that when you see these signs, lift up your heads and rejoice. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for. I love that verse. Listen to it again. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for. Why? Because it's based on the Word of God. What God has done in the past, we can be sure that He's going to do it again.
Amen. I have two words for everyone. Don't quit. Stay running the race. Now here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay. So what we're going to do, I had one of the listeners bring to my attention that I missed a prophecy on one of the sons, Benjamin. And so before we go to the compliment, I'm going to direct you back to Genesis chapter 49, if you will, and it's going to be verse 27. And this is what Israel said about his son Benjamin. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf, or raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. Now all of these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father spake unto them and blessed them. Every one according to his blessing blessed he them. And of course I didn't give any expansive details on other than the sons that I knew of that is listed in this text. There's other material perhaps that gives you more details, but it's not available to me at this time. If anyone knows of where it is, I would love for you to get that back to me and give me that information. Now let's go to the compliment. We're going to go to Luke chapter 21, and we're going to be reading verse 8 through 28 and then verse 36. Now this is a prophecy, and this is what Jesus the Christ is telling us today as Christians. It starts in verse 8. He says, and he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of the wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then he said unto them, nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and the great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence. And fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands upon you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all the adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. Listen, my brothers and sisters, Jesus said, in your patience, possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then shall that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter in there unto. For these be the days of vengeance, and all things which are written must be fulfilled. But woe unto them. And I'm going to let the rest of it go, and we're going to go to verse 36, because this is key. This is what we should be doing now as we wait on this prophecy to be fulfilled. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. That is what this compliment is telling us in comparison. That's the prophecy we want to respond to. We want to watch and pray, as Jesus has said. Now, this is the instruction. This is what is meant spiritually by this instruction, and we should get this from it out of our lives, that we must not live by physical bread alone, but by every word spiritually coming from the Word of God, B-I-B-L-E. So that is the instructions meaning. And that does conclude the 57 instructions out of this series of the book of Genesis. And next week, we're going to be going to the book of Romans, and we're going to go into that study. Now, to keep in alignment with our programming schedule, from time to time, Bible drills or instructions will be introduced to our listeners. This is one of those times. And here is a Bible instruction for you. I'm going to continue with what was started last week. And what we want to do, I'm going to give you this statement before we get into the gifts of the Holy Ghost. This is a caveat, and it's almost a disclaimer, on the gifts of the Holy Ghost. The two main schools of thought is these concerning the gifts. One is that all of the gifts are available to everyone. The other school of thought is only those gifts that are not considered miraculous gifts are available to us today. Now, remember, we identified the gifts, wisdom, knowledge, faith, and these are the miraculous gifts, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, and diverse kinds of tongues. What I wanted to do was to give you the practice of what you can exercise in order to get these gifts in your life constantly. And I started with the gift of wisdom. And the exercise for wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Now, God has told us that, especially with the nation of Israel, that the fear of the Lord is not to sin against God. And that's how he proved Israel at the Mount Sinai, when they stood before the mountain and it quaked and it burned and it smoked. So when you hear theologians say that it is the fear of the Lord I can't think of the term right now that they use, but it is considering awesome, you know, but it's more than spiritual. It is physical too. So the fear of the Lord is the exercise that I'm talking about. And in knowledge, I'm talking about this exercise, keeping God's commandments. For that is what in 1 John chapter 4 tells us, that this is how I'll be cool and we will pick up the truth.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for basic instructions before leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E.
Remember those exercises, fear of the Lord and keeping God's commandments. That's wisdom and knowledge. Until we meet again.